Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
It is Talking Real Money podcast time again. Hello, everybody in the Virginia studio with the curtain, and we don't know what's behind the curtain. Would you like the curtain?
I'll take door number one because I happen to know what is behind the curtain, Don. So I'll go with door number one.
Yeah, never. Yeah, you don't want what's behind the curtain. That's just the rest of my house. Hi, welcome to Talking Real Money. Don McDonald here. Again, I mentioned that. And hanging out in Bellevue, Washington, thousands of miles away from me.
It's safe.
Because it's better that way. Is Tom Cock. It's safe.
I feel better about myself. Welcome.
We're here to do something that we do almost every day, and that is try to make money a little bit easier to understand for you, particularly the investing part, because, well, you know, people get ripped off in small ways, little bits along the way, but the big ripoffs always occur in investing, and we want to make sure you avoid those. We also want to make sure you get some good advice, some good, solid advice to help you make better decisions. And every single day, if you look in the financial media, you're going to find a lot of advice. And a lot of these headlines are the five things to do, the 10 things to do. Motley Fool, the Motley Fool is
prolific.
Infamous. For I think their headlines are misleading, but they're the kind of headlines that get you to read.
Callow.
Hackneyed. I call them hackneyed. I like the word hackneyed or banal.
Yeah.
You know, they really are. The three things to buy today or the three things to do to be successful. Are there only two or three things, or are there more things?
There are more things, but let's talk about their three. We can talk about our three. We'll also talk about the fact that if you just read their three, the advice is actually okay.
Yeah.
It's after their three where they tell you the 10 stocks you have to own for 2021. That's where the trouble starts.
Oh, so you're saying it's sort of a bait and switch thing.
But let's talk about their three.
So tell me about these three things. What are they?
Number one.
Their three things.
That's a bad joke. Start investing.
Oh, my three things.
We were children of the
50s, so we know that show.
I've been working on jingles a lot lately, as you know. Number one is start investing early.
Not good jingles.
Early.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I got to make notes. Start investing early. Well, that's a good idea. Paul's a big fan of that, too. He wrote that whole book,
about
that.
I'm going to reserve my comment on that for a little bit later.
Start investing early.
Number two, put your money, they say, behind stocks. Put money in stocks. Stock market famous for its volatility, they say. Putting your life savings behind stocks can seem, it's a weird word to use there. Stocks.
There's stocks here, and if you put your money, you put them right behind them to follow the stocks?
Very dangerous. You go first. Bonds.
Is this the stock queue at Disney World?
They point out bonds. Listen to these numbers. Bonds may only yield returns of 4 to 5% a year.
In what universe?
What companies are issuing those bonds? I'm going to stay well away from that.
Wait a minute. What was the date on this piece?
A month ago. So either they're buying some bonds you can get a nice 99-year Argentinian bond for 18%. Now, you may not be alive when they finally pay it off. In fact, it's unlikely that you will. They point out the reason to own more stocks is the S&P 500, they correctly point out, has earned an average rate of return of about 10% a year before inflation, by the way. Number three, according to Motley Fool, diversify your portfolio, which is hilarious when you consider the next piece of advice.
Wait. This is from the Motley Fool. Wait a minute. What? Okay. When they say diversify, what do they mean?
It depends on your definition of diversify. Okay, President very famously once said, depends on what your definition of is. So in this case, what do they mean by, and you know the president I'm talking about.
I do. And I know what the is they were talking about.
Let's not go there because This is a family-oriented
podcast. It's a family show.
Okay, so that those are three pieces of advice. I'll give you my three in a minute, but here's the problem.
Yeah. Wait. No.
What do they say diversify into? Stocks from a variety of industries. Multiple stocks from a variety of industries.
Okay, that's not diversifying.
Then after they've given you three pretty decent pieces of advice, they go right into the new headline to get you worked up, Don. 10 stocks that could be the biggest winners of the stock market crash. Now, I don't understand how stocks could be winners if the market crashes, but these are the 10. And by the way,
Be the stocks that everybody who's getting out of the other stocks puts their money
into. What are the 10 safe stocks in your mind?
I would guess, and I don't have the article in front of me, but I would guess they're talking about like defensive stocks.
Cyclicals.
Like consumer staples and, you know, the things. You got to buy a tube of toothpaste because, you got to buy your utilities. You got to buy groceries. Bills. Those things. That's what I'm guessing.
I did not click on the 10 stocks, so I do not know the 10. But
don't buy individual stocks.
Let me give you my three, then you can comment. Number one. Okay. I think this is absolutely important.
Incredibly important.
You're mocking me. My wife did this at dinner last night when she was repeating what I was saying. Didn't turn out well for either party, I might add.
That's why I'm 3,000 miles away. It works better. Go ahead.
Something. It's still a majority of us that save nothing. Save something. I think the easiest time to do this, by the way, is if you can't do it before college, you're graduating or going into your first job, whatever your first job is, automatically set up a withdrawal of like 15% of your paycheck. It goes into a retirement plan. You don't touch it. You don't feel like you have money to spend. It's just gone. And then it's invested in an aggressive portfolio. At 24, 25, whatever, you should not have bonds in your portfolio if you can take the heat of ups and downs.
So basically you're saying Bitcoin or GameStop.
Always Bitcoin. Then. Always GameStop. Don, come on. Let's make some real money here.
Oh, no, it's AMC now.
Still one of the best.
Or Snowflake or whatever. Yeah,
don't get me going on Snowflake.
Anyway. What's number two?
Well, I just said number two. Invest aggressively. And I don't mean aggressively like Don just said.
I thought that was part of number one.
We were kidding about owning individual stocks and meme stock. No, none of that. A widely diversified portfolio of thousands of stocks, and you could do it at a low cost.
A VT, you could do that, for example.
You don't, that's like 9,000 stocks you have exposure to for almost nothing. Here's where we differ on number three. They're going to tell you to diversify, which I think is important. But I'm going to tell you that the thing that I see most from people that I talk to every day is tune out the noise. I'm not talking about this podcast. I'm talking about Closing Bell from CNBC. I'm talking about Money Magazine. I'm talking about all the online people that are telling you, here's what's coming next. By the way, the article from The Motley Fool, 10 stocks that could be the biggest winners of the stock market crash, which people have been predicting for, let's just say 11 years, as long as this bull market's been running. Tune out the noise. It will kill your returns. It will hurt your emotions. You got to figure out how to let all that go. Those are my three.
Three things aren't enough. No, there's That's more. My sure. answer. Three things is never enough. I mean, come on. If, for example, start investing early and yours save something, they go together.
Yeah.
Start saving something early. There you go. Invest aggressively. What was their number
two? Their number two was get behind stocks.
Well, basically, they're similar. Stand in line behind stocks or invest aggressively. They're similar. And then the diversify has got to be one of them. The tune out the noise has got to be another one of them. But properly diversify, tune out the noise. And then I'm going to add one more that really would be a list of six now. Actually have an actionable plan that you will stick to.
No,
forever.
Actually, that's a really good point. With that's variations. A very good point because you could be 24 and you're just starting out and you're not married, but you just started a job. Maybe what you have is a 3-year plan that says, I'm going to save for retirement. I'm going to save for housing or whatever it is, real estate purchase. But I love that. Then you can readjust it. You meet someone, you get married, you have kids, you readjust that plan, but you always have a series of rails you're staying
you
inside.
Have a plan. I think that's good. Exactly. Yeah, that's good. But yes, you can always fiddle with it. Everything can be fiddled with. But if you don't have the plan to begin with, you've got nothing to rely on to maintain the discipline. You got to maintain the discipline. It's really important. And I have question for you that was sent into talkingrealmoney.com, although you can call your questions in too to 855-935-TALK or go to talkingrealmoney.com and click on the contact form. And we read them on the show, well, although we're weeks behind on the reading ones.
Well, we're slow readers.
I try to read with emphasis, with feeling.
Yes.
The subject, dollar.
We already did averaging. This one. We did Didn't one we? Recently on dollar cost averaging.
I don't think this is the one. Nope, this You're is the not man. The same one. I'm telling you. Yeah. My question is, it says, hello and thank you for your show. It's been valuable to reinforce my financial plan.
Go.
My question is, I have just partially retired and separated from my employer where I have approximately $365,000 in a 457 and a 401k retirement account managed by Great West, the insurance company. This money is our nest egg. My defined benefit pensions more than pay our regular living expenses for both my wife and I. And we're working part-time. I want to pull the money from Great West for two reasons.
I got more than that if you want. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. One, the plan remains under the control of the employer and could change, and frankly, for privacy reasons. Two, though Great West gives me access to full brokerage accounts through TD Ameritrade at a modest $12.50 per quarter, I want to do a trustee-to-trustee transfer to my own Ameritrade account. But Great West will not do an in-kind transfer.
Wait, so
I will need to liquidate, then buy back into the market.
Yeah, I see what he's saying. In other words, his worry is you're going to be out of the market for a time. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah. Yeah, but then he has a further question, and this is the dollar cost averaging part. And we've gotten this question a lot. I intend to allocate based on the buy and hold portfolio, but I'm not sure whether to immediately invest or to dollar cost average. And if I dollar cost average, how long should I take? I'm not trying to listen to this line, Ron. I am not trying to time the market, just mitigate the sequential risk of buying back in.
That is timing. Okay.
That is
all right,
timing.
Let's unpack that. First of all, if you have to be out of the market for a few days to effect a transfer from one custodian to another, that's probably okay. Number two, you already told us this isn't money you need soon because you have all your bills paid, right? Right. You should be fully invested for your rate of return you're trying to get, meet your plan, the risk you're willing to take, the volatility up and down, and how soon until you need the money. You already said you don't need the money anytime soon. Ron, baby, whatever your asset allocation
Ron,
is going
baby.
To be, it's
got
to be, right? If it's 60, 40, 70, 30, whatever it is, make it that way tomorrow for the following reasons. Number one, stocks go up in 75% of the months. And day to day, it's more like 50-50. I get it. It feels risky. Number two, stocks go up roughly 3 out of 4 years, roughly. So maybe you invest this year and the market goes down. That's okay because you're not using the money very soon. And even if you're in a moderate portfolio, you still have all the money in bonds you could draw from. All of us should have the correct asset allocation for where we are in our lives. It has nothing to do with the next stock market crashing, who you wanted for president, whatever geopolitical situation or economic, invest properly for you, not for the markets.
However, our brains are not our friends when it comes to doing this because our brains immediately look at the past year, 2 years, 10 years and go, the market is at all-time highs. It's at all-time highs. I don't want to put my money in at all-time highs. I think I'll wait until it goes down. But the problem is we've got people who have been waiting since 2009 for it to go back down.
2001.
Could that happen?
I've recently been waiting since 2001.
Yeah. 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 Do you want to wait possibly a couple of years and lose the potential returns? You're not going to pull this off. And yes, you are trying to time the market.
I remember saying something a few minutes ago about tuning out the noise. Tune it out.
Yeah, don't look at the markets. I got to get one more in because we're just behind. This is a really quick one on Roth conversion. I have two questions. One, would it make sense to have my wife contribute to a 457 plan to reduce our adjusted growth so we can convert more of my traditional IRA to Roth? Or is this just delaying the inevitable with no real benefit? She's 54, I'm 59. She makes approximately $90K a year and contributes approximately $13,000 to her teacher's retirement system.
So she'd be saving money pre-tax. That would lower her income.
Lower their adjusted gross so that he qualifies for Roth.
But you got to have the money to pay the tax. Don't pay it out of the convertible money. Do not do that. So you got to have the cash to pay that tax. But otherwise, I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah, because if you are to the point where you can't convert as much of your Roth as you'd like because of your family income, then reducing your family income and not losing any money is just going into retirement, which is another great thing.
Now, remember, though, she's doing a little bit of robbing Peter to pay Paul. In other words, she's also, again, saving pre-tax while they're trying to move money into post-tax.
Right, but it's still putting money away for retirement. So, you know, it's not like you're losing anything and you're able to get more money into that Roth account. So now you have both. You have the pre and the post-tax.
Which I really do like,
I like the idea. I like it. Good one. Now, if you have a question, send it in to talkingrealmoney.com or call it in to 855-935-TALK. If you have a really complicated question, you have this portfolio of all this stuff that's in all these places that all of these brokers have sold you into. It's called a hodgepodge. No, the act of hodgepodging is hodgepodgery. Okay.
Aren't you the guy who wrote
your portfolio
bomb something jock or something?
Yeah, that was me. Hodgepodge portfolio is one in which a hodgepodgerist invests in a lot of things. So we have
hodgepodgerists. I'm going to have hodgepodge pie for dinner tonight. So
you have, you are now getting a little bit of hodgepodgeitis.
Ouch.
Anyway, if you want some help, we have this advice firm. That's where Tom is seated right now.
The people going back and forth behind me trading stocks and doing all that stuff. No.
Yeah, we don't do any of that stuff. He's got pictures of his kids.
I noticed I got to move those around because some kids are going to feel like they're getting left out. Not that any of the kids have ever watched these videos, so they're not going to know anyway.
You know, I mean, the one that's left out is the one who works there, so the heck with him.
He doesn't need to be mentioned.
He doesn't need to be mentioned.
Fix the hodgepodgery.
Go to Vestry. Okay. Shh.
Okay.
Stop. Go to Vestry.com and set up an appointment with one of our advice guys. You might even get Tom. Sometimes he calls.
Don't get me going.
I don't know why, but – and then he complains. I'm so busy. Well, quit calling people. Thanks. We got to do another podcast. So thanks for being a part of this one. We will be talking at you soon. Go to YouTube. If you're listening, go to YouTube. If you're at YouTube, go listen. Or do whatever. I'm Don. Tom's over there thinking about and talking about real money.
Talking real money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.